You are listening to the Punk News Podcast. This is my favorite episode of the year. Actually, it's my two favorite episodes of the year put together. And it's going to, this is part one, and there's going to be part two. It's both the Christmas episode, which is always my favorite, and then we're also going to talk about end of the year. I'm here with Sammy B. Sammy B, in the place to be on Christmas Eve. How you be?
I've been chasing elves all day, so don't worry about me. Apparently an elf attacked Rudolph, so if you don't see a bright light in the sky, it's the elf's fault.
Did he go like nuts, or like why was he attacking Rudolph? I guess not cool.
Well, apparently the elf was very sensitive over light, and Rudolph's nose was shining so bright.
Oh. Well, there you have it. We're also here with M. Moore. M. Moore.
Hello.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Holidays.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Holidays. Joyous celebrations.
Joyous tidings to all.
Peace and love.
Oh, geez. Why do we sound... Hold up. Why don't we have Punk News Christmas cards? Like, we just we sound should. Like Punk News Christmas cards right now.
That'd be perfect. Oh my God.
We need to brand, John G. Branding.
Yeah, you know, we should do some sort of physical media again. Fun. I mean, we've made t-shirts. We've put out, and actually, believe it or not, 10 years ago today, this is like a ghost story. 10 years ago today, 10 years ago today, I cryptically announced the first Punk News mixtape, believe it or not.
Oh, wait, cool. Hold on. Isn't that what you sent me for Christmas? I already have 3 copies, dude.
Of the blue one?
Yes. Did you sign it for M at least?
I'm sorry, what? What? I'm confused.
Huh? John. John totally did this in his sleep again.
Oh, sleep mailing?
Yes, yeah, sleep mailing. Oh, and signing, okay. Signing mixtapes.
We were talking about autographs earlier. It just kept going.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, anyway, so maybe in 2025, and we'll talk about that right after we come back. Let's play some songs. I'm going to roll the dice. Actually, you guys talk for 3 seconds while I go grab the Dice of Destiny. Go ahead and talk. I'll be right back.
Yes, we just confused John, as usual. He was stuck in the hovercraft room for too long.
Way too long.
Way too long. But yeah, it's fine.
All right, I'm back. Here's the Dice of Destiny.
That was perfect.
Perfect timing.
I'll be 1 to 2, M will be 3 to 4, and okay. Sam will be 5 to 6. So the person that plays first is M, and then me, and then Sam. So M, what song are you going to play?
Ooh, well, because it's Christmas time. Do you know what that means? It is time for the My Chemical Romance cover of All I Want for Christmas Is You, the best Christmas song.
And I will play the best Christmas song as well, The Dwarves doing Drinking Up Christmas, which is a cover of There Better Be Women by The Dwarves. Sam, what are you going to play?
So, I actually premiered this, like, last week or something like that. It is Xmas X, Holly Jolly Christmas, which is pretty much some dude in Calling Hours and Don't Sleep, and his kids singing Christmas songs.
And we'll be right back.
There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true, baby, all I want for Christmas is. asking for. I just want to see my baby standing right outside my door.
Will you?
And we actually are, I mean, this Christmas episode is this holiday end of year Christmas episode is kind of like a freestyle episode. But Sam, you know, you brought up the idea of Punk News Christmas cards. What would you like to see from Punk News in 2025, be it feature wise, be it review wise, be it news coverage wise, or wacky stuff like sending petitions to large Anne Grace, or saying Madison Street are broken to a bunch of vans, or posting about Sublime and then getting threatened to be sued by Sublime?
Well, first and foremost, Sam needs to come back.
Yes.
So
Yes.
that is number one. So sorry, you guys. I've been absent for a while because I have to take care of my mental health. And a sabbatical was needed from Punk News because you guys are the best audience ever, and you need a better Sam. So one. Two, let's see. Things that I wish can happen. More wacky antics. More John G in weird hats.
I'm down with that.
I think these are all things that is needed. I kind of like wish that like I can actually show up to one of your shows. If that's like a weird thing to ask.
Well,
But
Sam,
yeah.
I'd love for you to come to one of my shows, but I'm afraid the ship might have sailed. I mean, it since we're getting into it, the Punk News shows is kind of on hiatus for right now. You know what I mean?
I come back and this happens.
I know, I know. I mean, well, I mean, I guess I'll get into it now. Is so. I've had a lot of fun throwing Punk News shows, especially the summer soirees. And the idea with the first summer soiree was, could I throw? I mean, I knew nothing about throwing a show, and so at the age of what, 34, I said, I'm going to throw my first show. Which you're supposed to throw your first show when you're like 16, not 34, you know. And instead of doing like something small and local, I said, I'll ask World Inferno to come down, you know. But actually, I did try to start small and local, and it like didn't work out. Originally, I asked Jack Terrycloth to just come do a solo thing, and then I'm already getting off topic here. But I asked Jack Terrycloth to come do a solo thing, and he's like, I'll see what I can work out. He's like, maybe I can do something with this band, the Bamboo Kids. Do you know them? And I'm like, no, I don't. He's like, well, let me have some practice with them. And then like he and then I followed up. He's like, I had a couple of practices with them. And he basically kind of said, like, well, actually, he didn't say it didn't work out, but he was vague in true Jack Terrycloth style. And so like, nothing became of it. And then on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, they're like, do you want us to play your town? Send us an email. So I said, screw it. I'll just book all of World Inferno. And that's how the first show happened. Years later, I Googled the Bamboo Kids, and I think there is not a band called the Bamboo Kids. I think Jack Terrycloth just made all that up. Like, I don't think that existed. And so anyways, and so, you know, I've thrown an annual show every year, including COVID when we did it online. And you know, and I'm probably gonna do an episode where I talk about all the great shows, the highs and the lows and the challenges. And so the summer soirees have been real thrills. I mean, a lot of fun. And then, but you know, in the last couple of shows that I've thrown after Summer Soiree 7 was an absolute dream. Dangiomar, which is Joe Jack Talcum and Dandrew of Dead Milkmen with Marshall Fisher doing an all Ramones set. I thought it would be cool. It was so much better than I thought it was going to be. It really was an amazing show. And I'm like, well, I can't ever top that. But then I kind of, you know, when you throw a really good show, you kind of feel like you're invincible, or you've got the golden touch. And then I found I didn't have the golden touch. You know, I had a show that turned out wasn't that great. And then I had another show where things kind of went wacky. And, you know, a lot of people that I thought were my friends kind of did some not cool stuff, man. And that really kind of bummed me out, I gotta say. And I was actually feeling like really down. I'm like, oh man, it's like I've put all these bands on bills. You know, I've paid everybody every single time. You know, I've put on bands that no one cares about on bills, and some of them kind of got bigger and some didn't. You know, and I feel like I've done a lot of people a lot of favors, and then everyone is just like turning on me. Not everyone, but a lot of people, or people are kind of hiding when I could use a hand, you know. And in the middle of all that, I'm not gonna tell you guys after the show. In the middle of all that, I helped out one of my clients who was a bona fide rock star, like a genuine rock star that has sold millions and millions of records. And I helped him out with something, and he was pretty psyched on it. It turned out pretty cool. And so out of the, you know, I'm feeling down. I'm feeling like, man, like, you know, like I did all this for all these bands in Philadelphia. Everyone's turned on me like a viper, you know? And then I get this package in the mail from a bona fide rock star. And it's got all these obscure records in them that even I didn't have, and some vintage 90s t-shirts that I had actually had thought about buying on eBay, but I couldn't justify spending like $300 on a t-shirt, you know? And he just sent them to me saying, hey, thanks for all you're doing. And I'm like, I'm really struggling with the local shows and the local knuckleheads and the, you know, some of the shitty local bands that are the same band they've been for 10 years and they're not growing because they're just not that good of a band. And it's great when a show works out, but instead of kind of elevating and building higher, I feel like I'm getting pulled into the, you know, local shitty politics, which that's not where I want to be. You know what I mean? There's that Jamaican phrase, crab in a barrel, you know, where you can put a bunch of crabs in a barrel and you don't have to cover the barrel, because anytime one climbs up, the other ones will pull them back down because they're trying to climb up themselves. So no crab ever gets out, you know? And so like the ideas with the Summer Soirees was to make punk high society and like this big, funny, weird spectacle. And instead I'm getting sucked into local quarrels, you know? And I was really bummed out, and I still am bummed out, you know? And a couple of people did some really not cool things, and I'm being vague here. Well, let me just say, well, I'm not going to seek people out, but I'll remember, you know, if that makes any sense. But the point being is, so I was feeling down, and then I got this care package, if you will, from a rock star, you know, who's a cool guy. And I'm like, why am I suffering in the local swamp when no one here seems to really appreciate it? And the fact of the matter is, there certainly are people appreciate it, and probably most people probably do. But it's like, you know, a 5% minority, a 10% minority of just knuckleheads are just making my life miserable because they have nothing better to do and are jealous that other bands are bigger than them and just are bored. And that makes them feel better by tearing down other people's stuff. So I thought, why am I swimming in these swamps when I've got a bona fide rock star thanking me and sending me cool records, and I've got another punk legend email me thanking me for something? And something else really cool happened too. Oh, I had like a nice conversation with another really cool up and coming band. So like, why am I, like, I've been there and I've done it. You know what I mean? I've thrown 25 to 30 awesome shows. I've thrown 7 amazing summer soirees, each which I thought I could never top myself, and each which were out of this world. And at times I did think, well, maybe I'll move it to the next level and go from, you know, 150 venue to 500 or 1,000. And each time, you know, really annoying circumstances arose, other promoters being dirty dogs, you know, booking agents just being total pricks. And it just didn't seem to work out, you know. And I've always had my greatest successes not in not doing a lot of work, but rather the work seems easy to do, you know, with the Leftover Crack book, with the Dwarves album covers, with the DFL liner notes. Getting into Rolling Stone, writing over 150 articles for Rolling Stone, that was a lot of work, but it was easy work or enjoyable work, where right now the shows, it's pain in the ass, not fun, miserable work. And it doesn't have to be that way, but that's the way it is because local creeps are bored, you know? And so I said to myself, you know, I'm getting nice things from people that have really achieved a lot. And they're appreciative of what I've done. Meanwhile, local bands that I've booked are literally metaphorically stabbing me in the back. Bands that I've put on bills and paid, you know. And so it's like, what, you know, it's the reason some bands are rock stars is because they're not idiots, you know. And so I feel I'm getting sucked into a world I don't want to be in. And so in 2025, and I realize I'm rambling, but in 2025, there might be a summer soiree. There will be a summer soiree if something kind of just falls across my lap, like the Dwarf show from 2 years ago, like the Joe Jack Talcum show didn't fall across my lap, but it was an idea that I had that came together seamlessly, you know. And so if something comes across my lap easily, there will be a summer soiree. But if I have to force something, I'm not going to do it because You know, not to be trippy and weirded out. I am a superstitious person. I'm not a very, I don't know, hippy dippy person. But if the universe, it just says, John, it just, F you, then I'm like, all right, universe, I don't need to be doing this. So will there be a summer soirée or future shows? Maybe, maybe not. Right now I'm saying not. I might change my mind in the future, but there almost definitely will not be a show before Summer Soirée. Aside from, I actually have a very small brewery show book, but that's just because that was easy to set up and that was a thing somebody asked me to do. But the era of punk new shows, Sam and M, it might be over. It might be over.
That is sad.
Yeah, I mean, it is sad, but on the other hand, it takes a lot of time. It's a lot of stress. I've done it. So I've done it, and that, well, financial wise, I have not been successful. Art wise, I've been very successful. So you can weigh that however you want, But like, could I be using that time more for me? That is furthering my own projects. The answer is definitely yes. And so if people want to cause me problems in trying to create cool art, then maybe I don't need to create cool art in that context. There's other people doing it. So I don't need to do it, I mean, it's not like there's not shows in Philadelphia. There's more shows than there are fans in Philadelphia. So we'll see, man. I mean, I am feeling very down about shows because I had a lot of creeps come out of the woodwork recently, and I had a lot of people that I helped out stab me in the back, which bummed me out, And I had a lot of friends that didn't step up and be friends. They kind of hid, and so I'm bummed out. But then, like I said, I got this package from somebody I really respect and some other people. And that felt really, really good, and it couldn't come at a better time. So, maybe I'm being, maybe it is the universe telling me, John, the lowest level of locals, the most local, maybe that's not where your talents are. Maybe that's not where you're best utilized, which is probably true, frankly, because and not to pat myself on the back, but where some promoters just say, I'm throwing a show and it sells out, I have to work really, really, really hard to get shows to sell out or even come close. And so if I have to do that much work for what little benefit comes out of it, there's probably better places to use my energy. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Do you, John? Do you?
So anyways, M, what do you want to see from Punk News in 2025?
Ooh. Stuff from Punk News in 2025. Definitely more wacky stuff. Like more just kind of fun off the wall shit, like whether that's podcasts or April Fool's stuff or just like stories or whatever. Like I'm not sure exactly what, but like that would be a lot of fun to do. It'd be neat to do something with like fiction writing. I have no idea how we would do that, but like that would
Well,
be
I mean,
something very that would be
well,
very
we actually have done that in the past briefly. Didn't really take off, but we could do like a fiction corner Saturday or something. The problem is getting people to
yeah, that'd be
contribute. You know what I
fun.
mean? But actually, Emma, I do want to go back to one thing. Is you know me, I love the
What's up?
wacky stuff. I love the chaos stuff. I loved it when we were beefing with Ben Weasel back in the day. I
Oh.
loved it. I loved it. Let me think of some of the other wacky stuff. The Mikey Erg petition, which was hilarious. But I feel like and you know me, I love the wacky. We recently had a wacky thing with the Sublime thing, which
Well, yeah.
was hilarious, high pressure but hilarious. But I feel like people are more humorless now than they were 5 or 10 years ago. Do you feel that way, Em, or do you think we can bring back the wacky vibe?
I think we can 100% bring back the wacky vibe. I think people have a lot of humor. I think
See, I
it's
don't. I
just
don't.
darker now. Like it's just pretty bleak. It's
I
more
think
gallows humor
it's different.
or like more absurd.
Yeah, you have to be very, very wacky, like ridiculously wacky, for it to be like, oh, okay, this is like fake and this is funny,
Yeah.
you know? You can't just be like just subtly wacky because I actually blame this on like AI because like there's a lot of like fakes out there that like you have to like be really savvy to like look at and be like, oh no, this is like so this is fake, like or just talk to like your aunt at Christmas, like, oh yeah, I saw this on Facebook. No, it's fake. Did you not see that there's a third arm there? Like, things like that. Like, Yeah, I think a lot of people have they're fact checking, or savvy people are fact checking. So I think yeah, a little bit of humor is not good enough. I think you really have to go wacky for people to be like, whoa. Pretty much like most of my Instagram feed is like the most unhinged humans on Instagram right now, just for my pure enjoyment. Like singing and screaming and really bad octaves, like things like that. Yeah, I'm a part of too many ch chats with my friends that where they just meme bomb me ridiculous videos. So too much people.
Well, I do love the wackiness, and I think that is a smart move in that, like, as we said before, there actually aren't that many punk publications anymore. So now's
Nope.
a good time for us to
No.
kind of really swing for it and kind of like add a little bit of edge back to the site. Because I mean, right now we're doing a really good job on reporting the news, but I don't know if we've got an edge right now. You know what I mean? We're covering the news, but can we elevate ourselves to something beyond just reporting news? What I'd like to see in the website, which is the same every year, I'd like to see more profile pieces, more interviews, and more reviews. And frankly, we need to do another staff drive. I just did not
Yeah.
have the time in 2024 at all. And on one hand, it's not necessarily bad having a lower staff than we used to have, because that way the voices are stronger. And all, well, the problem with having a big staff is you get a lot of I mean, Sam probably knows more than him, but Sam, we've had some real pieces of work that caused some real problems. You know what I mean?
We've had some people that are great human beings and strange negotiators.
I'm trying to think what that
I
I'm
like
thinking
the
of one
wording.
I'm thinking of one
Yeah,
in I'm thinking of one
yeah.
instance, but I don't know if that's what Sam's referring to or not. Sam, are you referring to a fest situation?
There's always fest situations, which is issues. There's also a lot of other festival in situations. I would have to say that it is. And I wrote this on my end of the year piece. Like, I'm just grateful to have a space, aka Punk News, where there's a lot of like-minded people that I have met in my, I guess, 11 years or 10 years or however many years I've been here at Punk News, year tenure here, that are like cool people, you know? However, it has been strange, to say the least. I will not elaborate any more than that. yeah.
What's cool right now is pretty much all the shots at Punk News are called by myself, M, and Sam, and we're basically the three dons of the website, as a way to put it.
Don, don, don.
Sam, just briefly, I'm curious, is if you recall, Sam, you know, 10 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, but 10 years ago, definitely, the site was much more of a committee. There'd be internal debates and stuff, and I
Yes.
found them to be just insufferable. You know what I mean? Do you miss the social and community aspect and all the debates, or do you like that now it's kind of like the mafia where we all three of us do what we want so long as we don't bump into each other? You know what I mean?
Well, I do like the committee type of thing because at least like, I guess it was like, there was more voices involved and there was more people, more hands on deck, so there was like more buy-in to things. So yeah, what did suck is like sometimes there would be like a great idea that you would have or whatever, and it gets shot down. But I think 10 years ago, because there was more voices and more people to say like opinions, some of the crazy wacky things that are problematic would get shot down real quick, I think it's, I have this conversation all the time with my husband because, my husband's also a part of this org, right? And the Chris. And like it is hard to survive here. in punk news and just in punk publication in general. Because this is volunteer base and it is, this community that me and the two of you guys have, that we're in this together for now, right? It's we're in weird times.
We are in weird times. That is so.
I do think that, like, if there was more people or more voices, the site would ha definitely have different things on it. I think, and it should, because again, punk is huge. Punk is not just what John listens to or what I listen to or what M listens to. There's other bands that, like, and the three of us cannot possibly, cover every single thing on this earth that's punk, because even with me, I try to cover as much Asian punk as possible because that's the stuff that doesn't get to the States. Like, I have a vested interest in it because I am Asian,
You
and
are?
right? Oh my God. You would never know from my last name. But yeah, like, just the fact that this subgenre that we're in does touch on places that we don't think that would normally have punk, it's living there and it's thriving there. And I love just bringing that to light. Also, representation means the world to me, so sorry, you guys. There are good things about what we have right now, and there was good things about what we had 10 years ago.
Yeah, actually, I'll ask. Well put, Sam. I'll ask M this, and then we'll play some songs, and then we'll be. This has been a pretty heavy conversation. We're really kicking this episode off with some heavy conversation. M, you've only known punk news as kind of the mafia style, where it's, which honestly, I'm kind of proud to say that I kind of introduced to punk news because what my own journey to punk news is I. People kind of think, well, not so much now, but maybe 3 or 4 years ago, people think that I like plotted and schemed and like took over punk news, when really what happened was I just stuck around and people left. And so I said, well, I'll fix that. I'll take care of it. I kept sticking around, and so when I moved up the ranks of punk news, which my moving up the ranks of punk news were actually much, much slower than almost any other editor there's ever been. Is I kind of introduced, like, when I got some power punk news, I guess I didn't really ask for the committee's opinion. I just started doing wacky stuff in my wacky era when I was doing some crazy shit, like
Wait, hold
interviewing.
on. You're still in your wacky era. What are you talking about?
I wish, well, to a degree, I wish I was in my full-on wacky era, like when I interviewed the Westboro Baptist Church,
Oh, God.
but I don't think the internet can handle that right now. I mean, if we look at the Sublime thing, which wasn't even, if you don't know, last year to April Fools, I think we had a really funny April Fools. This was when Rome was sadly fired from New Sublime, so we did like Rome joins like My Chemical Romance or something. You guys remember which bands we'd used in the beginning?
Oh,
I
wait, I
it,
think I have the doc still. 1 minute. Let me check it. I
Well,
hope I still
go
have it.
on.
Go
So
on, John.
it was like Rome joins Chemical Romance, and the next one was like Rome joins Elton John, and the next one was like Rome joins the band from Cheers, and then it got weirder and wacky, and the next one was Rome joins Max Rebo's band, which is the aliens in Jabba's palace, and the last joke was Rome joins Sublime without Rome with Rome or something like that, and like we thought that was like wacky, mischievous, and obviously false. And then some people got really upset about it, you know what I mean? And I decided, I mean, we honestly, I think we could have fought and won, but we did the joke, why fight it further, you know what I mean? And so like people in the industry and even the readers, I don't know if they really, I mean, I thought that was one of our best April Fools ever, but it didn't seem like people did enjoy the wackiness. So I don't know. So anyway, go M, what's your perspective of punk news, and would you like punk news 15 years ago when I, or actually 20 years ago when I first started writing for punk news, which is an insane thing to say, almost 20 years ago, more like 17 years ago, it was very much a committee, and there'd be all these internal debates, And but on the other end, there was a lot of camaraderie. Like people would go to punk rock bowling together, people would go to shows together, you know. And so do you feel as though you've missed out on that, M, or do you enjoy that? It's kind of you can do whatever you want so long as you don't bump into other people, you know. What would you like to see? I'm saying with regard to internal structure, you know, because I mean, like Sam, remember like Justin August and Richard Ricciarducci and Brian Yancey and Kira and all the there would be these
It was very communal.
it was very communal. It was very communal. And actually, I'm not gonna name names. Even it, one time I'm remembering is there was a Punk News's probably biggest PR disaster, which was not caused by me. It was actually just after the end of my wacky era when someone that was totally not wacky did something very wacky, and then someone else said, "I'll take care of this," and they made it like five times worse. And they're like, "I can't handle this," and then they left. I was just glad it wasn't me, frankly. So anyway, M, what's your perspective? And then we'll play some songs.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I thought, like going into Punk News, I thought it was gonna be like, 'cause I had one account before like I started writing for the site, because I was like, oh, it's like a community thing or whatever. I don't think I ever posted a comment. I was just kind of like lurking.
Sam, I bet M's handle was EZD2. I bet it was M all along.
Was that you? Were you our biggest troll?
The Madball smell the bacon guy?
Actually think it was because I eventually did ban Madball and someone else got banned. But there's another time someone used like the N-word and I banned them, and then someone else got banned, and there's someone that a lot of people know, and they're like, "I got banned because John hates me." It's like I didn't ban you. But I did ban a different name that used the N-word, and you got banned at the exact same time, mysteriously, you know.
We just like on the site for you guys to get along and not use bad language
Please don't use the
against each
N-word.
other. There has been I don't post on the site ever because I don't need that in my life. I also don't need people attacking me, so please don't ever attack me. However, I do understand being an internet persona, even part time, does have warrant people to comment about people's, right? But yeah, no, is Punk News is not for bad words, please. If you wanna say F Punk News, sure, okay, but don't use words that would make a specific, I guess, race or gender feel uncomfortable. Thank you.
Indeed. Em,
Yeah.
is there anything you wanted to add to your perspective of the Punk News
Oh.
staff format, I guess?
Yeah. So I really like what we have going on. It's been obviously awesome, like working with you guys and working with Adam and like things like that. And having the full creative freedom and not having to kind of answer to somebody or whatever is really nice. Because again, like you have to do that so often, and you just have the outlet to be like, I'm gonna write whatever the fuck I want, and I'm gonna get into this topic if I want, or this one, or like whatever. So I like that. I do, in one way, like I feel kind of like I missed out on a community thing, but at the same time, I don't. Because like I feel we have a community, even though it's not like maybe as.
Yeah.
Like it's not the same, but we still have one, and we're still connected and whatever, and it'd be really nice to all meet up at some point and go do something. But yeah, because when I came in before, I was an editor and I was just writing stuff. I didn't really like how that side of things was run. There was a lot of hey, I have two people who are writing about this. Whichever one's better is gonna run. There wasn't
At
really
Punk
like
News?
that happened with I think one thing. Mine ended up running.
Was it a review or what
Yeah,
was
that
it?
did
It was a
happen. Yes.
review.
Yeah, that did happen.
Yep. It was when I was doing reviews.
Who was I the editor? Oh, I wasn't the
You weren't
editor at
the
that time.
editor.
Ah, oh, that makes sense. That makes
No.
sense. Yeah.
So.
Because I would run two reviews of the same record. Like, who cares?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. It, people have different perspectives, right?
yeah, the right one and
So.
the wrong one. So go ahead.
Well, there's also at that moment of time a formula to things, apparently.
The magic, the algorithm.
Yeah, the algorithm of some punk news magic. I don't know. Yeah, that was wacky times.
Was
That was what that was what now
It
you're
was a
bringing up.
weird time.
We're being very vague here, listeners, and I'm sorry, but those were wacky times. They were wacky times, you know.
Was quite a kind of thing to come up with, I guess, kind of within the site in the back end. But pulled through that and brighter on the other side. So yeah, no, it's nice. I like the punk news is like the mafia. I think that's really funny.
Well, punk news isn't like the mafia in that, like, there's dons and there's foot soldiers below the dons, and you can do whatever you want so long as you don't bump into each other, which is exactly how the mafia is run or was.
Oh my God.
Anyways, let's play some songs and come back and have some less heavy conversations. I will roll the dice of destiny to see who goes first. I'm 1 to 2, M is 3 to 4, Sam is 5 to 6. Sam goes first, then me, then M. Sam, what's your next pick for tunage?
This is probably on the very end of the spectrum of punk news, but I don't care because I kind of love it. Jimmy Eat World, they covered
Ooh.
Last Christmas a million years ago, so I love it. So you're gonna hear it. Sorry.
And then I'm going to play The Waitresses, which, if you've never heard The Waitresses' first album called Wasn't Tomorrow Wonderful, it probably my favorite new wave record, or definitely one of my top like three favorite new wave records. The Waitresses were awesome. They only put out two albums and one EP. Oh, I'm wrong though. Actually, the song I'm about to play is off the EP called No Bruises or something. This is the classic Christmas rapping. But if you've never heard The Waitresses' first album, it's got the killer song that everyone knows. I know what boys like. That song. The whole record's super great. Be sure to check out The Waitresses. I'm going to play Waitresses' Christmas Wrapping, which everyone's heard in the supermarket a thousand times, but I love the song. And then what's M going to play?
Do you guys want something horny or kind of sad?
Horny.
Horny. This is not a punk song. But I have been listening to a lot of Sabrina Carpenter. So here is a nonsense Christmas.
with the boots back out in the snow to the only all-night grocery. When what to my wondering eyes should appear in the line is that guy I've been chasing all year. And in this one alone, he said, the break this year's been crazy. I said, me too, but why are you? You mean you forgot cranberry soup? Then suddenly we laughed and I caught on to what was happening. That Christmas magic brought this tale to a very
I was surprised by the Sabrina Carpenter pick. So let's talk about not necessarily our favorite albums of the year, but albums that really surprised us. I'll just pick two for right now.
Okay.
The album that really was a late era contender that really surprised me was Cassie Ramone's new solo record called Sweetheart. Of course, Cassie Ramone was in the Vivian Girls and the Babies, and she's put out two solo records before. The first one was I feel like I said this last week.
You said you were surprised that it was so good, and that was kind of the extent of it. You didn't really get into it.
So her first record is kind of very low. It's like low key, and it's cool, but it's just her and acoustic guitar, just kind of strumming and singing over top of the acoustic guitar. And it's a safe album in that it's low stakes, so it's hard to fail when you're low stakes. Her second album was a Christmas album, which was kind of the same thing. And it's cool, but a Christmas album has limited year-round appeal. Then kind of out of the blue, she dropped her new solo album called Sweetheart, which is not a low-stakes album. It's like a fully, full-on, lush full album, and it's, I feel it's what she's been culminating towards ever since the very first Vivian Girl 7-inch. It's got the girl group thing. It's got the My Bloody Valentine shoegaze thing. It's got sadness. It's got some happiness. But, you know, all of Cash and Moon does kind of have that sad vibe to it. But it's cosmically heavy, and every song kind of goes on like this sonic journey. They're not like the, pretty much every song evolves, and the whole record is very cohesive. And I was really blown. I wasn't expecting that much because I like her other two solo records, but they're, like I said, they're low stakes. This one is a full on. And plus the way she didn't really announce the album too much. She, like, you would have thought that maybe she like really swing for the fences PR wise or label wise, but she self released it, and they just kind of put out an Instagram post that Cassie Ramone's new album's coming out kind of soon, and you can check it out if you want. And then I actually didn't even listen to it before seeing her live because I don't think it was on stream. I don't think it was on Bandcamp yet, so I'm like, I'll just go see her live and buy it. And I had low expectations. First of all, it was her solo with a drum machine. She was so amazing. The songs were so full. And I think at times she was actually playing not to a drum machine, but to a literal cassette in a deck, which was really neat, you know? And then I got the record, and the record is, it's such a full, bold, trippy statement. I was totally blown away by it. If you like the Vivian Girls or the Babies, you're going to love it. It's not quite as punky as the Vivian Girls, but it's totally this full-on, bold album. The second one I was surprised by was the Michael Rose album called Rocking Like a Champion. Michael Rose, of course, is the singer of Black Uhuru. Black Uhuru is the first reggae group to win a Grammy and one of the greatest reggae groups of all time. Michael Rose left the band in 1984 after their massive album Anthem, which actually I played as one of my album picks when Hallie Bullet was on the podcast. And so after Michael Rose left Black Uhuru, he's put out dozens of records, and frankly, most of them are not that good. Maybe he'll have one or two good songs on it, but a lot of throwaway songs. He's got an album called the single is Duddy Road. I forget the name of the album. Like shoot, is it called Shootout or? Anyway, he put out an album with like about 5 or 6 years ago, which was pretty good, but it felt like it's just the producer trying to have him do what he's already done. Whereas the new record is with Subatomic Sound System, who's done multiple albums with Lee Scratch Perry and has a very unique dubstep influence sound. And I'm not a big dubstep guy, but I love Subatomic Sound System. And so finally, this album with Michael Rose, it's very much Michael Rose in Black Uhuru Sucker 2024. That is, it's the Black Uhuru, you know, low end thunder and soul and politics, but not just him redoing what he's done before, kind of being trippy and sci-fi. And it's like, finally, Michael Rose has got a solo album that, you know, is, I don't know, equal, but approaching equal, or maybe even equal to his Black Uhuru Heights. So I was just totally blown away by that record. So, yeah. Also, the Cure album is really good, too. It's, like, so sad, but it's good. I bought it just because it's the Cure. I'm like, fine, I'll listen to it. It's super good. And what else was surprising? I'm taking a quick look here. So I guess those were I'll give a shout-out to Mikey Elfers. Mikey Elfers is an occasional writer for Punk News. He's got a band called Vampire, and he begged someone to review his record. And I'm like, fine, I'll review it. And actually, it's a really good synth pop punk. It's pretty good, actually. So, anyway, Em, what were your big surprises of the year?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I have a few. So, I think out of all of them, only two are on. Well, I don't know. Who knows? You'll know when the list is published, which I'm not giving away spoilers.
As of now, lists are going to publish just after New Year's Day, FYI.
Just after New Year's Day. Oh, okay. So they'll be up in January?
Yeah, what is New Year's Day is probably like a Wednesday or something. So yeah, it'll probably be like Thursday.
Right, because it's a weird timing, so like week and stuff.
Yeah, so basically you'll be listening to this and our voices before you can read our thoughts and feelings.
Okay, good. So I don't have to worry about any of the spoilers. Okay, so the first big surprise for me was Negative Spaces by Poppy. I Poppy's been around for like, I don't know, ever. I remember when she came out and she had that like I am Poppy video and everyone was like, what the hell is this? And everyone thought she was a robot and stuff, but I never listened to her. I just knew the video and thought it was kind of creepy and that was about it. But actually, because we were talking about, was it not, yeah, it was Knocked Loose. They had the song with her, Suffocate. I like the song. I wasn't a big fan of the full Knocked Loose album, but I liked that song. And then I saw a bunch of people who I really respect their musical opinions talking about the Poppy album online. So I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna listen to it because this was a very eclectic listening year. And I'll get into that a little bit later, but it was like, this sounds like something that I would really enjoy right now. So I listened to it and it's fucking great. It's really good. Her voice is wild. She does these like really, really deep guttural screams and then she'll just like sing like nobody's business. And it's awesome. The instrumentation's super heavy. I was very surprised because that's not what I thought Poppy was going to sound like. I don't know what I thought she was going to sound like, but oof, blew me away. Really enjoyed it. Listened to it a few times, and not just shattered expectations kind of thing. So I guess I'll do the kind of Poppy adjacent thing next. So this year, okay, do you guys have bands where like you listen to them and then they kind of just consume your world for like a couple months and you don't really listen to much outside of them?
Yep.
Okay, mine's Bring Me the Horizon, where they're this is a spoiler for my list, but they're getting their own category because it's not fair to rank them against the other albums. But oh my God. Okay, so I enjoy a good Bring Me the Horizon tune. I have a lot of the albums. That's the Spirit was my I played that CD so much, like I wore it out, you know, stuff like that. When I listen to the band, I listen to the band. That is all I do for like days. So they released some singles this year, and one of them was Kool-Aid. That was one of the earlier ones for Post Human Next Gen. And I was driving in the car one day, and it came on the radio, and I was like, excuse me, you're playing this song on the radio. Okay. So, you know, turned her way up and was like, oh my God, this is really good. Cause I'd listened to the song earlier, you know, and was like, oh, it's great, whatever, cool, haha. And then I got really, really into the album because they have all this cult stuff and they have a lot of lore. And especially on Post Human Next Gen, there's like all this, like, the stuff where you're in these like different places and the videos are all like attached and then it goes back to, you know, how things started. Because I have my own like, you know, red thread corkboard theories and stuff of where the cult actually started and all this kind of stuff. But anyways, just to keep it really simple, this is not where I think it started, but one of the origins is Mantra, where we see kind of the cult leader come to full fruition. And then on this album, I feel like that's just taking it in like a whole new direction. I just really like this album too. It's good. The music is good. It's heavy. There's some great breakdowns. Ollie Sykes's voice is incredible. I did like take a complete, you know, kind of shot in the dark and was like, hey, PR person, can we set up an interview? And it was like, I never heard back, which I totally understand. But yeah, they are my one band where it's
Wait,
just
who is
there.
this?
Bring Me the Horizon.
Oh.
Yeah. So, anyways, I really enjoyed the album. There are some things on the album that I do not enjoy, particularly the opening for Bullet with Butterfly Wings. Not cool. But that's just because that's very similar to something Zombie Shark did on Die Laughing. And when Zombie Shark did it on Die Laughing, that like really, 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 really got me. So it was hard to hear that in the Bring Me the Horizon context without thinking about that. So I think that just kind of threw me off a little bit. Anyways, surprised at how good it was and surprised at how much I listened to it, and also how much it just revisited pretty much not their entire catalog, because there's some misses, but like anyways. My next thing.
I'm mad these pricks won't give him an interview. Let's make this
No,
happen, Sam.
no.
Do not force it. If the world wants this to happen, it will. If
Oh no.
not, we'll
Yes.
try again later.
We'll make it happen. I mean, who's Bring Me the Horizon think they are? I mean, they're a metalcore band. Give me a break. You know what I mean?
They're
Like,
so good. If
well,
Bring
they
Me the Horizon,
are a
fly me out.
pretty big metalcore band, and didn't they like play like something like recently, like a huge festival recently?
Yeah, but listen,
Oh,
if Alice
yeah.
Cooper is down for an interview, and if Joan Jett is down for an interview, and if the Westboro Baptist Church is down for an
Oh,
interview,
God.
Bring Me the Horizon. Damn well, better talk
Oh,
to M Moore.
boy.
I'm gonna make
Oh,
this
boy.
happen.
Well, I
Or
would have
else
to.
maybe Bring Me the Horizon will be the subject of our next April Fool's joke. You ever hear that? Bring Me the
Oh,
Horizon, you might want to change your tune.
Oh,
Oh,
no.
boy. Okay. Anyways,
Oh,
don't
yes.
anger the metalcore gods, okay?
I am not angering the metalcore gods. I am trying to give them all the good vibes, all the good feelings. Maybe,
Did you
fly
interview
me out to
Frank? Did you interview
Brazil.
Frankie Arrow, M?
I did. He was so cool.
Yeah,
He's one of the
thank
nicest
you.
people
So if
ever.
Frankie Arrow, who's way more famous than Bring Me the Horizon, is down to an interview, Bring Me the Horizon better for a new interview. Those pricks. I hate
But
them.
no, literally, Frankie is the nicest person
He
ever.
is. He is
Well,
so
listen.
nice. Then Bring Me the Horizon better become nicer. That's all I'm saying. Or else they might find that they're playing with Rome next year.
Oh no.
Okay,
So
so
that get brings me to the next surprise album. Sorry.
I think John G is trying to like speak something into existence.
Mean, if you're manifesting, I'm all for it. Gonna be like, hey, do you want me to do a really deep dive into your lore that you might have forgotten about? Well, I'm not letting you forget about it.
Or maybe
And
I'll
then
be like,
add Rome.
or maybe
Yeah,
I'll
and
be
then
like,
add Rome.
hey, I'll be like, hey, Bring Me the Horizon. Like, you better do this interview, or if not, then I'll do a deep dive into your lore, and maybe I'll connect some dots you don't want connected, a la Death in June style. What do you think of that? Bring Me the Horizon.
Oh boy.
Oh no.
I might find some dog whistles in there. You don't know Bring Me the Horizon. You don't know.
Oh
Oh
no, if
man.
there are. Yeah, so that brings me to my next surprise, which is In the Corpusarium by Yegrim Bagarn. So they are a band out of Boston, Massachusetts. And they are based around Morrowind, the Elder Scrolls game. So I have.
I'm sorry, I stopped playing video games at Mario Kart. I'm sorry.
The green shells. This is Mario Kart on horses.
Oh my God.
With a whole ton of myths and dwarves and stuff. So I played the game like once or twice with a friend because I never had it. And then a lot of my friends were really into like the Elder Scrolls games. So I know a lot, or not a lot, I know a bit about them just from like hearing them talk about it and like the limited experience I have playing them. But this album is really, 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 really good. It's, I think they described it as dungeon synth. Is that right?
Well,
Oh,
dungeon
it's
synth
Dwemer synth.
is a genre
I'm
for
wrong.
sure.
No, it's described as a Dwemer synth because that's who Yegrim Bagarn is. He is the last known living Dwemer who lives in the Corpusarium because he contracted Corpus, and they're trying to find a cure. So all of the other Dwemers like disappeared. We don't know where they are. We don't know what's going on.
Sam, am I on LSD right now? I have no idea what's going on.
Dude, I have no idea what's going on. I'm too damn old for that. Although I am freaking playing Pokemon cards right now, so I'm like right there in the weird, but not. You said Dwemer something, and I was like, what? A whole bunch of meowing came out like from my brain.
I was speaking in tongues.
Yeah, you were.
Like, it's so heavy. It's so good. It just hit the part of my brain and it just went like brr. It just clicked.
It
I
went
really
meow.
can't explain
Meow, me likey.
That's exactly it though. It's very good. I enjoyed it. I've spent so much time with this album. And then my last surprise was Here by Stand Atlantic. I like some pop punk. I have not had a lot of pop punk recently. So the album is very pop punk. It's very fun and bright and there's some humor in it. There's like, I think a rap part sort of at one point. The songs are really catchy. Like I listened to the album and then I couldn't stop listening to the album and then I was like singing the songs, which is a good sign, just everywhere. So great album. But again, it's one of those things, listen to it and then it's on a loop for a couple days. Yes, it doesn't have a lot of lore that I know of, but I will make some up right now. And it'll
Start a
sound.
novel about lore for this right now.
I will. Yeah, well, because there's a song about like people turning into like these monsters that like spit venom and whatever. So it's good.
There's lore written all over that. Possibly an entire novel, a fantasy novel for you. So I think
Oh,
you got your
yes.
next secret project.
This is the series.
Like those romantic novels. It's a series of spitting venom
Yes.
snakes.
I will take the publishing world by storm. Who
Exactly.
wants hot frosty when you can have venom snakes?
Well, that's also hot.
Exactly.
Hot venom. Oh boy.
Sam, what was your biggest surprise of the year, aside from the fact that M is talking about, I have no idea what she's talking about. And Sam,
Music.
what was some of your big surprise records of the year?
Okay, so there's a couple of things happening with Sam this year, and Sam dove really deep into like weird rock and pop again. So I'm sorry in advance, but one thing that caught me by stupid surprise is this band called Wisp. So Wisp is literally a 19-year-old lady named Natalie. Her one track went viral on TikTok, Your Face. And basically, she got picked up by Interscope because of
Oh my
that.
God.
So she put out an EP called Pandora, and I have been listening to it nonstop since my husband found it and bought the record and said, Sam, you would like this a lot. Yeah, so she pretty much sounds like the music. Sounds like nothing. It's shoegaze. Sounds like Whur. She is obviously a fan of Whur because her Instagram handle is literally a Whur reference. And like her vocals are so pretty and it's like so breathy. Like I've been saying she's like a cross between like nothing shoegaze and like this artist Bebop Adoobee, which my sister loves so much. I can't stop listening to it. It's six tracks. It's a quick thing, but if you love like shoegaze and you love like really pretty things, that is definitely something to listen to. Plus, all of the music videos that she has put out so far are they're beautiful. Like it's very like artsy, which is definitely my aesthetic, so I'm totally into this. And most of her songs are all like very like about relationships and wanting love or finding love, things like that. So that's Wisp. She did do a tour. I totally missed it because I, of course, found her out about her way after the fact. But she's playing big things now, I guess, for a 19-year-old. But go Redhead. Another thing that I found real interesting, and it's not necessarily an album, but so Baby Metal. I think you guys all know that I love like J rock and J pop and stuff like that. Put out a
Yeah.
single with a band called Electric Callboy.
Oh,
Really
yes.
weird combination of things, in my opinion, but it goes so well. So the song is called Rat Tat Tat, and or tat, I don't know how to say it, but it is the catchiest damn thing ever. Like the beats in it's electronic beats in it is so catchy. I kind of like Electric Callboy now, even though they are so pervy and horny.
Oh,
But
yeah.
yeah, no, the vocals back and forth between the two bands go so well together. The single is, my opinion, fire. I actually saw Baby Metal when they came around in the States in the yeah, I guess the fall. Yeah, in the fall. They're so fun to see, and they played the song. I freaking lost it. So, that's a thing that I found real surprising because I didn't think that a collab like that was gonna go really well for me. And another thing, which is a spoiler off of my list, a metalcore band. Yes, M. I have found my way into metalcore somehow.
Well, Baby Metal did a song with Bring Me the Horizon.
Yes, I know that, which is also very good. I think it's called Kingslayer,
It
but
is.
yes, also very, very good. But whatever. Fame on Fire, they released an album called The Death Card this year. They're like a hard rock band, maybe metalcore. I don't know. There's some screaming in it. Who knows? Pretty much the entire album is based on tarot cards. I find it freaking genius that you can take something like tarot cards and base an entire theme on it. So each song is named a track, and then it's also named after a tarot card. And the song actually dives into like the meanings of the tarot card. So like, like lovers, it's a song about lovers, like things like that. So I think the entire album from front to back just brings you on an entire journey of emotions and feelings and screaming. So yeah, I found myself really surprised. Why did Sam find herself here? I don't know, but she is here and I am present, so hello.
Well, we are thrilled that Sam's here and present, and we're going to wrap
Yes.
up this episode, and we're going to continue part two next week, where we're going to play a bunch of our favorite songs from the year and talk about our favorite albums and what we'd like to see happen in 2025 and what we think we did well in 2024 and what we did not do well in 2024. But in the meantime, we're going to play some more Christmas tunes for your Christmas enjoyment. First person is going to be Sam,
Ooh.
then M, and then me. So,
Hey.
Sam, what's going to be your last song of the day?
So, of course, I had to play my girls. The Linda Lindas. They
Oh,
released
nice.
a Christmas song. Yeah, I guess 2 years ago. Yeah, 2022. That's 2 years, right? I guess. So I'm gonna play Groovy Xmas or Christmas.
Sorry.
Go ahead, what are you going to play?
I am going to play Christmas, Baby Please Come Home, my favorite Christmas song, and this is the Joey Ramone version.
Ah, good choice. And then I'm going to close it on out
Thanks.
with Joe Jack Calcum doing the Christmas Waltz. And until then, we will have a happy, have a Merry Christmas, have a happy holiday, whatever holiday you want to celebrate. Have a great new year, and we will see you.
come dance with me this Christmas waltz. On this splendid holiday night, let's tear asunder us from our faults and dance to the rhythm of the moonlight. The first step's for joy, the second's for grace. Third step's for spirit that sings through the air. With everything finally put into place, we have the answer to our every prayer. Wine bottles glow, feast fast approaching, beer is on draft, family and friends are filling our home. Exchanging places on choreographed ribbons and bows on packages bright beckon the children and young at heart. By the end of the night they'll be torn up. Dip into